This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
I'm Martin Strong, and let's get right to the consumer news from the past week. You've probably seen, maybe even used, those bike shares on the streets of Vancouver. And now you soon may be able to share an e-scooter to zoom around the city. Tuesday night, City Council approved amendments to several bylaws to allow for this. One of the amendments will allow e-scooters to ride any street with a posted speed limit of 50 k's an hour or less and on the city-controlled portions of the seawall. This is the next step in the shared e-scooter system, which will be station-based, just like those bike shares. Vancouver Mayor Ken Sim called it exciting, noting that e-scooters offer a sustainable and accessible way of getting around and exploring the city. Some critics are concerned about safety. Those things go pretty fast, and some say the rules of the road for e-scooters are just too vague. Some big upgrades are on the way if you're a driver in Surrey. They've just approved what City Council is calling its biggest municipal transportation investment in history. The council has approved a $138 million extension of 72nd Avenue from 152nd Street to Highway 15, a roughly 4 kilometer stretch. It'll feature 2 lanes in each direction, along with improved ditches that will address some farming needs as well. The city figures the road will serve 37,000 vehicles each day once it's completed, and construction is expected to take place between 2028 and 2030. BC's rental housing market is still the most expensive in Canada, with average asking rents reaching almost $2,500 in February. However, the latest data from rental.ca and Urbanation also shows BC's rents were among the slowest growing in the country, rising 1.3% last month. Vancouver is the most expensive city for renters in Canada, though, with the average asking price for a one-bedroom reaching more than $2,650 last month. But at least if you rent, you don't have to worry about expensive repairs. And so far, in 2024, the big one has been burst water pipes. That's thanks to the bitter cold we had earlier this year. The damage caused by frozen and burst water pipes made up about 70% of insurance claims so far this year in BC. It's the same for Alberta and Saskatchewan. The Insurance Bureau of Canada says the January cold snap caused more than $180 million in insurance damage. The Bureau says with more frequent and more severe destructive weather events, the cost for insurance companies and taxpayers is going to get a lot higher. And here's something to think about if you use one of those neti pots. Those are the things, they look like little teapots, and you use them to rinse out your nasal passages. You basically run a bunch of water up your nose. A lot of people swear by it, saying it cuts down on nasal congestion, helps with breathing, and can clear up infections. This week, the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention announced that they have linked a second type of deadly amoeba to the neti pot. Scientists have known for several years that people who use neti pots can become infected with brain-eating amoeba if they use common tap water. Scientists say the use of neti pots filled with a saline solution have boomed in the last couple of decades. So it sounds like if you're using a neti pot, definitely only use boiled, sterile, or distilled water, not water that's out of a tap. And are you a fan of Trader Joe's south of the border? There's one in Bellingham. It's a fun place to shop for groceries. Other people seem to think so. And that's why a set of 4 official Trader Joe mini canvas tote bags will cost you as much as $999 US on eBay. They only cost $2.99 in the store, but they've been mostly sold out. And now videos on social media are showing crowds of customers staking out Trader Joe's grocery stores, hoping to get their hands on one of these mini totes. They're bringing them back to the store in the summer. So I don't recommend paying $1,000 on eBay. This is Vancouver Consumer on CKNW. And coming up, we're going to talk real estate with our friend John Carlson. You know him as Johnny SmartPoint. That's when Vancouver Consumer continues on CKNW right after this.
This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
Welcome back to Vancouver Consumer on CKNW. I'm Martin Strong, and one of the big stories this week when it comes to real estate is the rise in inventory. That's the term realtors use when they look at the number of homes that are out there for sale. The last couple of years, inventory has been really low. Just not a lot of stuff out there to buy. And that puts a lot of upward pressure on the prices, but that seems to be changing. Greater Vancouver's Real Estate Board now says listings were up. And that's meant the number of sales in the Lower Mainland was up a healthy 13.5%. And I guess we'll just have to wait and see if it means buyers get a break when it comes to house prices. So where are they going? Well, someone who really knows what's going on in this market is our man on the ground. In the trenches of the Vancouver real estate market for more than 28 years, he sold more than 1,000 properties in all the different areas of the Lower Mainland. He is, of course, our friend John Carlson of 2% Realty. You know him as Johnny SmartPoint. You can find him at johnnysmartpoint.com, and he's with us now. Hi, John. How are you?
Hey, Martin. I'm doing great. Wonderful to be back here with you again. Appreciate it.
Excellent. And since we've been doing these interviews over the years, we've been, you know, talking about real estate. The one phrase that I've learned, or word that I've learned that I didn't know before, was inventory. It seems like a very trade kind of word to talk about inventory as the number of properties that are out there to buy. But if the inventory is low, it makes it really hard, right?
You're right. That's a word we use all the time. And sometimes I forget the lingo is kind of in-house sometimes. So forgive me, listeners, if I'm... Yeah. But I think everybody does know what inventory refers to. And that's been one of the big stories of the real estate market when we go back the last 5 or 6 years. And, you know, maybe not to get into it too far, but you'll hear a lot of the other news programs on this radio station talk about some of the reasons that are coming to light for that. We've got a lot of immigration, low interest rates, supply issues in terms of, you know, approval processes and these sorts of things. So inventory has become the hot word in the industry, and you hit it right on the head at the introduction, and I'm happy you mentioned it. It's, you know, when you're looking at me and you're announcing that the inventory is returning, basically the listing counts, what's right on the market, how many new listings are come up, have finally hit what they call the 10-year averages. We're right in a pretty average market, and that's great news for somebody like me. So when you're announcing this, I'm looking at you, I got a big smile on my face because I'm thinking, finally. And I know that a lot of homeowners, whether you're buying or selling, are thinking the same, because low inventory affects sellers and buyers, and we can talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the most obvious thing is when the inventory is low, it means there's a lot of buyers for one house or one property, and that means bidding wars and high prices, and it makes it very, in many cases, kind of unpleasant for the buyer.
Well, it's pressure.
Yeah.
It is. And buyers have been under a lot of pressure. Low inventory makes everything more, you know, puts pressure on everything, just because obviously your choices are somewhat limited, and if you want to act, you're competing. So again, yeah, great news that we have that. But you know, it's inventory. It's funny thing about, it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy when you look at listings on the market, because sometimes people say, gee, I'd love to put my house on the market, but I don't know where I'm going to go. And so the next person, that could be a good listing for the next person to look at, but people get a little bit nervous and hesitant when there's not many options on the market. So now that we're returning to 10-year average levels, I think that bodes well for what we're going to see this year.
Yeah, so interesting. And if you're somebody who has been a little concerned about that, because that's another part of the inventory equation, is that people might be a little hesitant to sell because it's going to be a nightmare trying to find a new place to live if you want to live in the same area of the Lower Mainland. So if you're one of those people who's been on the sidelines, might be a good time to maybe at least talk to somebody like John Carlson. If you want to talk to John Carlson, just go online, johnnysmartpoint.com. You can give him a call, 604-612-0080. And you can also email him at john@johnnysmartpoint.com. And you can kind of get a feel of the market. And I guess life is a little different because you're out and about all the time. You're driving around the Lower Mainland, all the different areas. And I know, to me, since the clocks changed, everything feels different, especially after about 4 o'clock. It feels like the whole world has opened up. And that must be kind of good as a realtor.
I couldn't agree more. And in real estate, that is a big part of it. The house is looking better. People are feeling better. The yards are looking great. But, you know, as a side note, I'm a big advocate of the daylight savings time because I like long summer nights. But I think that that's going to play a big difference. So basically, the market we're looking at, you know, just in a nutshell, there is some inventory to look at. Buyers are snapping up the good listings. And by that, I mean some listings are selling fairly quickly and others might languish longer. And I think that's because, you know, it's early in the year. So if I'm a buyer looking at a property, if I see what I want, I'm ready to go. But if it's not quite what I want, it might be a little bit early to settle. So there's that going for it. But also buyers are, you know, again, like I said, price sensitive. We're bumping up against the cost of living, gas, insurance, maybe rent to save the down payment, all these things. So again, with interest rates a little bit higher and kind of predicted to stay here for a little while, there are some limits on what buyers are prepared to offer and pay given it's early in the year. So it's kind of, you know, a Goldilocks market, you might want to call it right now, where buyers and sellers have options and they each are in an equal place to negotiate on most segments.
Mm-hmm. And the question that a lot of people ask is are these high prices going to last? Are we going to see a drop? And, you always say you're not in the prediction game, but do you think that with increasing inventory and maybe people kind of getting used to these high interest rates, that the market, that prices, we may finally get a break, people buying places in the Lower Mainland?
You know, I talk to a lot of people in the industry, lenders, you know, high up in the lending institutions, maybe appraisers, economists, forecasters, all these things. And, you know, I think there are two lines of thought that don't diverge necessarily all that far from one another. I think the one that is probably most prevalent right now and that I would subscribe to would be that we are always a hair away from a shortage of inventory in right. Greater Vancouver. Limited supply, the things we've talked about before. And it takes time to address these sorts of things, to build more housing, to plan, and to take care of all the people that are already here, never mind the many new people that come every year. So it seems that a solution in terms of an initiated market-driven or partly government policy-driven solution will take a number of years to work its way through the system. So to me, that says we're going to have a strong demand for real estate. The supply is somewhat limited. The supply is not going to ease up in any dramatic way in the near future. And barring any major issues, we will likely see relative high prices remain in Greater Vancouver and the Fraser Valley. So I think that goes without saying. The other side of the argument might be that, hey, there could be a day of reckoning coming when it comes to the economy or any of these other things. And so nothing is guaranteed. I can tell you now, it's my 28th year in real estate. I've seen things change quick. I've seen expectations go here and then turn out the other way. So my job is not necessarily to forecast too far in the future. But if I'm sitting down with you and we're talking about a good plan to sell, my job is to report to you and give you everything I know. And that's kind of the beginning of the foundation of the client-agent relationship.
Yeah, and it is kind of, I guess, in every sort of field, like the financial field, you can often make big mistakes by trying to time the market and try to predict where it's going. So it's a kind of a fool's game doing that.
Yeah, having said that, I do like my clients to win. And so we're trying to sell high and buy very reasonably and make right. good decisions. And that's, you know, that's the whole focus.
We're talking to John Carlson, Johnny SmartPoint, johnnysmartpoint.com. You can email him at john@johnnysmartpoint.com. And you've got some new listings you're kind of excited about. So it's a kind of a springtime thing.
Yeah. Do you know what I should do actually is I announce a brand new listing. So if you're in Abbotsford, in East Abbotsford, I've got a brand new listing. It's 2451 Aladdin Crescent. Go to my website. It's just hit. I'm doing an open house tomorrow, Sunday, between 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. This home is really attractive because the neighborhood is, you know, that perfect neighborhood where your kids can walk to school from kindergarten to grade 12 and right. the little shopping center is close by. It's quiet. It's private. Perfect spot. Big 7,200 square foot lot and a suite downstairs. So you've got secondary accommodation, $1,099,000. take a look at that one. I also have a place, if I have a moment, in Port Coquitlam. In Coquitlam on Birchbrook Place. And this is a house that's a detached house on a 3,000 square foot lot. It's not a strata property. It's listed at 909 and it needs some work. A 4-bedroom home, 1.5 baths. If you have a renovator's touch and connections and desire to be in a nice quiet area just off of Westwood in Coquitlam, this is someone you also should see. No open house this weekend, but probably next weekend. Those would be two of the hotter ones. And when I see you again in a couple of weeks, I'll have a few other listings. Love to add some more.
Yeah, and it's interesting how every house has a story. That house is kind of I wouldn't call it a fixer-upper, but it's the kind of place that if you are handy, it's a perfect place. It's a good deal, and you can get in, and that's great. And that's the story of that. And the other story in Abbotsford is the fact that it's close to schools. It's a perfect place.
Yeah, and that's a good way of putting it, a story, because, you know, you don't have to sell to everybody and every home has a potential buyer or people that aren't going to be interested. So, yeah, each house has a story and an audience, if you will. So that's part of the key of getting good value, is making sure you demonstrate the right value to the right audience.
And you work all over the Lower Mainland, so you know the different areas. Do you see much of a difference? Do you see one area kind of pop at times, and is it cyclical, or is it kind of unpredictable?
You do see, there's reason behind it, but that's a great question, because you do see patterns. It's like a boiling pot, maybe. And a lot of it has to do with affordability. And let me put it this way, buyers, home buyers, all of us included, we're buying a major purchase like a house. We have budgets and we have needs and desires and what we want to accomplish with that budget. So when the market has been increasing like it has in the last number of years here locally, you'll find that there'll be one area that'll kind of hit a price ceiling, and suddenly it's that next neighborhood east, and the detached right. housing market follows behind like a tsunami or a wave. So it kind of radiates out from central Vancouver to some of these areas. So to that degree, a lot of it's predictable. Like, for instance, right now, hot properties might be, if you have a townhome, a good townhome, could be built in the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, whenever, but if it's in a good location and it is a great substitute for a detached house where a young family can have a little yard and maybe a garage and park and not have to worry about hallways, and it's in the affordable range, that's one of the hottest segments of the market right now, because the audience for that is thirsty. They're hungry for that kind of listing, and there's not that many around. So there's a tip.
Yeah, that's good to know. And I guess it's really important that you kind of have a sense of that.
Well, yeah, you can read the stats and you can get some figures on what the market's doing, but really it's when you've got your nose to the grindstone every day and you're on the phone half the day talking real estate to people that you realize certain opportunities that can rise up, both from a buyer or a seller's point of view, and you can give advice that's, let's just say, timely and valuable.
Yeah, and it's kicking into high gear as the spring arrives and the evenings get lighter. I was out walking the dog the other night and it was like, holy, it's not dark. What's going on? It was great. We're talking to John Carlson. You know him as Johnny Smartpoint. You can find him at johnnysmartpoint.com online. And on his page, you can go to the new listings and you can find out everything about those two listings that he was talking about. One was in Abbotsford, the other one in Coquitlam. And you go to the website and you can find out everything about that. And there's the open house tomorrow. Should mention that again. Or you can send him an email at john@johnnysmartpoint.com. And when we come back, if you're wondering how commissions work, because they kind of are a mystery. And I think for a lot of people, they just say, well, I guess I just got to take whatever they tell me. But there are a lot of things about commissions that are complicated. And when we come back, John wants to kind of demystify the whole process, because it shouldn't be that complicated and it should be advantageous to the person working with that realtor. And we'll hear more about demystifying real estate commissions when Vancouver Consumer continues with Johnny Smartpoint, John Carlson, right after this.
This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
Welcome back. It's Vancouver Consumer. I'm Martin Strong, and we're talking to our friend John Carlson. You know him as Johnny Smartpoint. You can find him at johnnysmartpoint.com. You can email him at john@johnnysmartpoint.com. And he'd love to hear from you. And I was just on your website, johnnysmartpoint.com. And I noticed that place in White Rock sold. I was looking at it before, a view of the ocean. pretty beautiful.
Yeah, actually, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because I'd like to just congratulate and thank my client. That was on Buena Vista. And yeah, beautiful. One of the most beautiful condos that I've seen of its age. And in other words, you know, it was built in the late 80s, but this renovation the seller did was fantastic. And so it had that when you'd walk in the room and you had a great, you instantly, your eyes are drawn to the windows and the panoramic view. So, you know, I met this seller by, I worked with another seller in the building earlier last fall. And so through this, I was very happy to be involved in both of those sales. And this one to me was just an example of, you know, where we put our heads together, the seller and I, we came up with a strategy that turned out, you know, quite well. And one of the, you know, actually it leads me to what we're going to talk about maybe in a couple of weeks from now, but I'll hold it to that, about what to do if you get lowball offers or offers that otherwise maybe have some strange details in them, how to handle that. So we're going to talk about that later, but we managed to get this one done. It was fantastic. I thought it was executed well, all because the place showed amazing and we got all the value for it. So congratulations, seller, on that one. Thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah, like to look out every morning and see the ocean. That must do something for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about commissions, because, you know, it seems like it's sort of it's kind of a mysterious thing in a lot of ways. I think a lot of people, when they talk to a realtor, they just assume that, you know, the commission is what it is and they don't have much of a say in it. But what are some of the things that people need to know about commission when they talk to a realtor?
You know, great topic. I find, you know, if commissions are mysterious, it's maybe only because they're not maybe talked about or introduced enough. And, you know, of course, being a person who supported my whole family through real estate commissions my entire life, I think that they're important to me and my business. But most of the public don't really have, you know, a firm grasp even of how this works. And so I thought, you know, why don't I just give out a little bit of information for people who are thinking of selling their homes? Because sometimes they say, well, I hear the commission structure might be here different than here and all these other sort of things. And I want to come on the record right away and say, I've worked in many different structures over my time and done a lot of sales at all of them. And my job is to always position myself in a place where I'm attracting all the right attention for my clients. So with that in mind, let me let you know about commission. If you and I were to work at the sale of your home, Martin, there would be a listing agreement. And that listing agreement would include the price and the terms of the listing, but also a commission payable. Now, in British Columbia, the way the system works is that commission would be collected, paid by the seller, but that same commission, approximately half of it, would be offered out to a buyer's agent as well. So a seller of a home in British Columbia is responsible for the payment of the agent who works for the buyer. And some people might say, hey, that sounds a little bit contradictory, because the buyer's agent, his job or her job is to represent the buyer to the best of his or her ability and get the best possible price or terms, whereas the listing agent working for the seller has the same duty to get the best possible price and terms according to the seller's wishes. So people might say, okay, we've got two competing parties here with agency agreements, but people need to understand the way that the commission works in Greater Vancouver, the Fraser Valley, and British Columbia is it's collected by the listing brokerage, and then by the agreement in the listing contract, roughly half of it is offered out to a buyer's agent who successfully brings an offer. So that's the first thing, is how is it collected and how is it paid? And oftentimes I find when I meet with people, they don't understand that process. And so my job is to bring it to the forefront and let them know what their options might be and give them my thoughts on it. And, you know, part of a strategy of selling the home is, in this market, what commission are we going to offer to the buyer's agent?
Interesting. So you can do that. It's not just half of what the seller makes.
Well, and everything, I want to say that when it comes to commissions, everything's negotiable. Different brokerages may have different business models, and they may say, hey, if you work here, this is our business model. Keep in mind that we, you know, this is the commission structure we work under, but everything I find is negotiable pretty much everywhere you go. So if you're a home seller and you're thinking, okay, well, commission's important to me, and I think it is important, However, of course, I think the value proposition, real value is not just price, it's performance as well.
Right.
So these are things to consider. But if you've never considered before that, hey, this is how the commission structure works, you want to sit down and talk to someone who's worked in many different structures and what the pros and cons might be of different options, I'm happy to meet people and talk about that, because I don't think anyone in Greater Vancouver, I can't think of anyone who would have as much experience selling under different business models in the last 25 years or so than me. So that invitation's out there if you want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. If you want to get a hold of John Carlson, just go to johnnysmartpoint.com or send him an email, john@johnnysmartpoint.com. The phone number is 604-612-0080. And just ask for John. He's always there because he's a realtor. And you're on the phone all the time, aren't you?
I got that phone on my hip like you wouldn't believe. Every once in a while, I'll forward it to my office. So if you were to call me and maybe you get my answering machine or I'm dating myself there, aren't I, Martin? If you get my voice message there or it goes to my office, it's only because I'm away from the phone or on the maybe I'm in an appointment. So I return my calls very promptly and I love to get phone calls as well as emails. So yeah, feel free to either way.
Anybody ever ask for your fax number?
Been a while. It's been a while. I think I'd have to look it up.
Yeah. So we're talking about how the surplus properties, the inventory, is increasing slowly. There's more out there. The market is picking up. And what if somebody is listening to this and they're thinking, well, I'm thinking of selling our place, but I just want to sort of test the water. I don't want to, commit 100%. What's the process if someone calls you? You're not going to rush them into selling.
That happens a lot more than you might think, Martin. Actually, mm-hmm. It's always nice to get the call saying, hey, John, I'm ready to sell. You're my guy. Come and talk to me. That's wonderful. But more often than that, it's people who, maybe past clients. I'll meet with somebody tomorrow who I worked with about 7 or 8 years ago when they bought a house in Maple Ridge. Great story. They got a fantastic home and, it was nice to reconnect. But they said to me, hey, John, we don't know if it's going to be this year or next year, but we did see a couple of sales, one in the fall and then there was one earlier on. And we want to know where we're at because we're getting to that close to that point where we're going to be retiring. So we want to know how much equity do we have in our house? What does owning it for another year look like compared to maybe selling it now? And, knowing all that, we're not in a rush. Come and talk to us. So when I get that call, if it's a past client, that's a little bit easier because I've already got a lot of information, a good background, I enjoy it. But oftentimes it's someone I'm meeting for the first time. So you, I think, mentioned earlier something to the fact, what kind of question should you ask a realtor? Well, I think the realtor should be the one listening. So when I go, I sit down, I say, how can I be of service? Do you have any questions about me before we get started? I introduce the concept of agency, which says, hey, if there's anything you want to talk about that you need to remain confidential, I can easily initial this little document, step into the role of an agent. I owe you confidentiality forever. So we can have confidential discussions. We can have light discussions. But once that's all cleared up and people generally say, okay, here's my situation. People have real world needs. There's retirement. There's financial considerations. There's job transfers. There's lifestyle changes. And when real estate's involved, I think the job of a good agent is to understand all of that and then be able to process it and provide some thoughts that someone who's not in the business every day probably doesn't think about.
Mm-hmm. And I guess being prepared to sell your house is always preferable to deciding, I need to put it on the market next week.
Yeah, it's
I guess it works both ways sometimes.
Sometimes there's a good reason for people to want to, and that is a little bit rare. It can happen, but being prepared is everything, and that's why the discussion is usually the first step. So I can help people with, ideas of preparing the house itself. Had people ask me, recommend some cleaners. I need some handymen. I need gardeners. Let's talk about timing. What does this look like? What does that look like? And again, these are nice discussions to have. And it starts with listening, understanding. And then again, I'm a Swiss Army knife, so to speak. Any kind of thing you might need that has to do with real estate, either I can help you or I know someone who can. And that's part of the very first part of a meeting with someone, is to make sure that I offer everything I have to them. And I hope that they work with me at the end. And if they do, I'll do a good job for them.
Mm-hmm. And you hear about staging all the time. How important is that?
Well, staging, it depends how you define it.
Yeah.
you know, sometimes staging is, you know, just saying put your stuff away and declutter. Other times, you know, it depends on the property. If you have the opportunity where it's vacant or you have a light lifestyle in the home and you can go the full nine yards, and maybe you're an executive home, an upscale home, maybe you have a feature that really, really stands out compared to your competition. Well, it doesn't hurt to make sure that that's polished to its utmost. So, you know, staging is different for every home. Everybody should prepare for to the best possible advantage. But again, if somebody needs a house fully furnished with artwork and furniture and all that sort of stuff and the professional staging and photos, I can arrange all of those sorts of things. Other times people have a place that looks fantastic and they say, what should I do? And I'll say, well, turn the lights on and give me the keys.
Yeah, I guess. And you need to make it so that the people who are looking at it can imagine themselves living there.
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's funny that I think about all the positives of home, but I'm also in the background always thinking, you know, what are any obstacles? Is there anything in the way here if I'm walking through that, you know, I'm gonna bang into or that doesn't look good or smell good or add anything to an environment? Should we remove those sorts of things? I'm always looking for those to be able to remove obstacles. And you know what? Quite frankly, some homes do have obstacles. Maybe it's the layout. Maybe there's a million things it could be. And if there are things that you cannot change about a house, then at least you should be ahead of them in terms of understanding that this objection may come and having an intelligent response that, you know, you're never going to convince everybody, but you can eliminate or minimize an objection by handling it wisely. And again, that's the smart point in the experience angle where when the push comes to shove and you're looking at an offer coming, maybe not, or negotiating $5,000 or $10,000 or $50,000. Sometimes the way certain objections are handled is key in that. And so getting out in front of that, understanding it, addressing it, and having the seller and the agent on the same team working in one, that's how you get the great results.
Mm-hmm. And before I let you go, I'll mention that open house tomorrow again. It's in Abbotsford.
Yeah. Let me pull up that address. Yeah. 2451 Aladdin Crescent. So if you're house hunting, it's a good one. Got the suite. If you just want to say hi, meet me and talk about real estate, I'll be there 1 to 4 tomorrow.
Yeah, it's kind of a personal appearance by Johnny Smartpoint. You can meet Johnny Smartpoint. John Carlson has been our guest, and good luck tomorrow. Have fun and enjoy the rest of the lovely lighted evenings. That's
yes.
A weird way to say that. But because the hour has gone forward, I'm just really loving the fact that it's light outside at night.
Summer nights, here we come.
All right. John Carlson. He is Johnny Smartpoint, and you can find him online, as usual, johnnysmartpoint.com. And if you go to that web address, johnnysmartpoint.com with two N's. You can see the open house tomorrow, and you can see the other listings that he has on the page. You can also give him a call. Write this down, 604-612-0080. And email is also good, john@johnnysmartpoint.com. Well, John, always a pleasure. We will talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.
This is Vancouver Consumer. I'm Martin Strong, and up next, it's the future of AM radio. Some politicians are trying to pass a law to make sure it doesn't disappear. That and the story of the very first radio broadcast ever heard in Vancouver. That's coming up right after this.
This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
Welcome back. I'm Martin Strong. Thanks for listening, no matter how you're listening. Could be on the web at cknw.com, could be HD radio in your car, on regular old AM radio. There's lots of ways to listen these days, but let's talk AM radio. A lot of people are saying its days are done. But this week in the U.S., a group of senators were closing in on the votes that they needed to pass a new law that requires AM radios in every new car. They believe saving the AM dial is critical to public safety, especially in rural areas. It's the AM for Every Vehicle Act, and many of the automakers aren't big fans. For example, the 2024 model was the first Ford Mustang to hit the dealerships without an AM radio. Ford was joined by BMW, Mazda, Tesla, Volkswagen, Volvo, and others in taking that position that AM radio is incompatible with electric vehicles. Tesla made that argument when it removed AM radios from its cars back in 2018. The thinking is, that the process of powering an electric car causes electromagnetic interference that gets picked up by the radio. Still, lots of car makers have said they have no plans to phase out AM radio, including Honda, Hyundai, Toyota, and Kia among them. According to the senators who are fighting to keep AM radio in cars, AM radio is crucial for public safety, especially in rural areas. That's because AM operates at lower frequencies and longer wavelengths. It can pass through solid objects and travel much further than other radio waves like FM. And if the Wi-Fi goes down, there's always the AM signal. That's why FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency in the U.S., operates its national public warning system through broadcast AM radio stations. That's the way FEMA would deliver critical safety alerts to people in the event of a catastrophic disaster. So it may not be cutting edge, but it's good to know it's there. But AM radio has certainly changed, especially from the days when it was the only way to broadcast anything before TV and FM radio. And actually, it was this past week, the 13th of March, that Vancouver heard its first local AM radio broadcast. It was 1922. At 8:30 p.m., it was a half-hour broadcast with some news and a few brief musical selections. The show was produced, ironically, by a newspaper, the Vancouver Province. It was their equipment. Other newspapers would soon follow suit, do their own radio broadcasts, including the Vancouver Sun and the Daily World. But this was 1922, so very few people had a radio to actually hear it. But that would change quickly. The first station, the one I just mentioned, started by the province newspaper, would continue to broadcast until 1940. And it was 4 years after that, in 1944, that CKNW, the station you are, of course, listening to right now, would sign on. Back in 1944, CKNW would become the first radio station in all of BC to broadcast 24 hours a day. 980 on your AM dial, also online and on HD radio. You can find us on satellite. Just Google it. You'll find us. This is Vancouver Consumer. And coming up, it's the latest on rent prices in the Lower Mainland. Spoiler alert, they're still going up. Also, great news for Neil Young fans who get their music through Spotify. I've got that story and all this week's consumer news when Vancouver Consumer continues right after this.
The preceding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.